Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
The rich golden scent of orange blossoms curls through the air of the courtyard. The shade of what used to be the cathedral keeps this house cool in summer, a benefit that does not quite make up for being so close to a place so fraught with potential violence when the new rulers arrive. Times are changing, and brave is the woman who goes out to the market square without a companion for protection or witness. People go on as usual more often than not, but the tensions that seethe beneath the surface of this conquered city bubble like a pressure cooker beneath the most innocuous interactions. A man buys a fish on a Thursday. A woman arrests her instinctive urge to make the evil eye at a passing creep. And as the sun sets, everybody's eyes furtively seek out the gargle. This is the gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to the Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Tiff Stevenson.
Hello. Hi.
Are you wearing overalls?
Do you mean like dungarees?
Yes.
Well, actually, they're not. They're kind of like these. They're like these high-waisted trousers that have a little. I was at a gig the other night, and someone said it was bisexual clothing, and I went, "It's actually Isabel Marant. I've not heard of that designer." So, they have what they call a paper bag waist, which is where they make them bigger, and then you pull them in like a paper bag.
And it feels like you're carrying your butt home from the grocery store.
Yes, exactly. I'm taking my lunch with me everywhere I go.
And Sammy Shah, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I am wearing a Kmart hoodie, in case you were wondering. That is from the Kmart line of hoodies. That's my extent of fashion knowledge here.
I mean, Kmart, I feel like the equivalent of Kmart would be...
TK Maxx?
Yeah. Somewhere between Primark and M&S, I feel Kmart falls in the stakes of whether it's legitimate clothing. Before we kneel together before the hungry god that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of the magazine. The front cover this week is a blueprint of Sam Bankman-Fried's not-at-all supervillainy plan that was recently leaked during court filings. His plan was to buy the island nation of Nauru for the effective altruist community in case of the apocalypse, and also so that they could run human genetic experiments and also some other stuff. That's a quote. That's a direct quote. Probably good for some other stuff. Yeah, I feel like I mean, last 6 months has been a real blow to my glowing image of the effective altruist community.
it's also quite, like, knowing Nauru's history at this point, I don't see this ending for them any other way than being a billionaire's genetic playground. The previous big investment that they had financially was they gave their money to Leonardo da Vinci the musical, which was a musical production in New York. Nauru invested entirely in the production of the musical. The entire thing flopped so bad, I think it lasted 2 days and then was pulled off of Broadway.
Well, of course, because all the women they cast aged out in the 2 weeks of production.
And they ran out of their entire income. So, yeah, this is, it's pretty cool to do that to Nauru, I think.
And the satirical cartoon this week is the planned out extended universe for the Barbie movie, because just enough is never enough. Projected follow-ups to the Barbie movie include, and this is not the satirical bit, a Polly Pocket movie and a live-action Thomas the Tank Engine movie. And of course, let's not forget the Oppenheimer movie sequels, prequels and side character spin-offs. I, for one, cannot wait to see the range of fedoras and moral ambivalence that we get to be exposed to in the next few years.
I'm excited for Poppenheimer. That's based in the clubs. It's about dance craze.
Sammy, have you watched either of these movies yet?
I have a 10-week-old, so I'm going to watch these when I can watch them on my phone while bouncing on a medicine ball with a baby on my shoulder, which is the way I think the director intended for them to be seen.
Tiff, have you seen either of them?
I haven't, because Scottish husband has been in Scotland. Rude. So we've promised to go and see Oppenheimer in the IMAX. I haven't seen them yet. Next week. And also, I mean, it's very exciting just to see cinemas full again, you know, as someone who has a film coming out in cinemas like next month. So it's good to know that people are buying tickets and going. And I like that communal experience, she says, ignoring people who open really loud packets of crisps and talk the whole way through.
Yeah, well, what you really need to do is tap into the like disposable fashion consumer experience of going coming to your movie wearing some sort of outfit that's then going to go immediately to landfill that you can do an Instagram post of. If you get into that seems to be the niche market. If you can get into the
people dressing up to go to see films, though, is quite it does make it feel more like event cinema. There's a kind of, as long as you don't throw it away afterwards, I would ignore the disposable part, but the doing pink to wear, Oppenheimer's not quite the same. I don't know. It's like the only thing you can wear that's appropriate to Oppenheimer probably is black and a sense of anguish.
Yeah. Oh, if you're not going to Oppenheimer in either a turtleneck or a full suit, you're in trouble. Now it's time for your top stories. Top story today is water discourse news. This is the news of an international incident. There is currently a raging debate online about whether Europeans drink enough water. American travellers have sparked an enormous amount of backlash after claiming that they can't find water in Europe. Tiff Stevenson, you're a traveller of the world. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes, apparently it was gripe water. What? What? They've got gripes. Some Americans went on TikTok and said they haven't heard of water in Europe. This is us with our water bottles everywhere drinking. I imagine the Americans need it for that high fructose corn syrup they've got in their systems. So it's just a case of working that out. Also, all that historic architecture is dry and makes you thirsty. So there was a bit of a sort of raging debate over whether or not Europe had more water. I think they might be deploying quite a lot of it at the moment for parts of Greece and Italy that are literally on fire. They were saying you only get tiny glasses in restaurants, but that's ignoring the fact that in a lot of European cities, like tap water, well, not tap water, there's water fountains available. In fact, in France, how French is this? You can get water fountain water, and you can get sparkling to fill up your bottle for free. That's the most French thing. Like, so the idea that Europeans don't have, when the most famous bottled waters like Evian, and so they come from France and Italy, you know.
Well, you have also this, sort of cultural disjunct between Europeans who drink maybe a little bit less water than Americans, but still have access to water and then are not depriving their tourists of water unless the tourists are unwilling to drink out of a tap, which it seems perhaps these Americans might be. And then on the other end of the spectrum, Americans who, due to their deep cultural issues, need to have a beverage in hand at all times, whether it's a Starbucks coffee or a bottle of water. If they're not sucking on something all day long, they feel deprived of the love that their mothers never gave them, I think.
I was looking at the story, and my initial instinct was to obviously make fun of the Americans because they're ridiculous, and why not? But then you start reading into it, and certain details stick out. So, for example, the European Commission, which is part of the European Union, actually said that, yes, Europeans do drink less water than the recommended guidance values, which means this explains why Europe has had two world wars and they're constantly battling the rise of fascism in the far right, and half of Europe is on fire right now, and the other half of it is killing migrants and stuff. It's because they're dehydrated. Most Europeans are just angry because they have migraines from the lack of water.
Well, also, the recommended dosage of water per day in Europe is lower than the recommended amount in America. And also in America, people are either constantly trying to get plump, dewy skin or lose weight, which involve drinking inordinate amounts of water. So, I think there is really genuinely a cultural difference. Also, maybe Europeans aren't tracking their water intake so compulsively as Americans. I got a water bottle given to me by an American friend and it had a little... cheering up slogans all the way down it, which were like, you know, after 250 mils, it'd be like, you're doing it. And after, you know, 500 mils, it would like, chug, chug, chug. And there is nothing that has made me want to drink water less than that bottle.
Motivational speaking, yes.
Oh, there's motivational tampons in America.
You're
there's
halfway
ones with
in.
Little quotes. Yeah, little like, you're halfway in. Pull me. Eat me, drink me, pull me.
That was the chapter that got cut out of Alice in Wonderland.
It's a bit of silly fun to kind of, you know, I think the positive thing is they're staying hydrated, you know, so they are like knocking back the water. I would say if you are in Europe, if you're an American and you're in Europe, and we're being very silly and, you know, and ridiculous, but if you are in Europe and you feel like you run out, just find a middle-aged woman, because I am in my 40s now. My body is retaining water. It's actually hoarding it like I'm in Mad Max Fury Road. So if you just stand near me, you'll be able to get some of that sweet, sweet moisture.
They could just tap you like a maple tree, just one of those straws with a pointy end, like a bubble tea straw, and just knock it into the side.
And that would help me out as well, let's be honest. So it will be mutually beneficial. What are those like those fish that feed on whales? You know, those smaller...
Remora.
Yeah. You could, young American women in their 20s can just hit me up with some moisture. Being glib and being silly, I actually think it's a interesting cultural debate. And like you say, we apparently are drinking less water, and explains, I guess, the rage.
Well, I mean, there is another element to it, which is that when you go to a new country, sometimes you don't see the things that everyone is doing, the things that are obvious. So for these girls, they can't see water anywhere. But for all the Europeans who are surrounding them, there's water fountains at every corner and there's no sense of scarcity at all. So you can be like blind to the stuff that you're looking directly at, which is why we need artificial intelligence glasses to control everything we look at and put up little signs that say, this is where you can drink from.
And how much water would you recommend drinking?
I would recommend drinking when you're thirsty until you're not thirsty anymore.
Ah, interesting. I thought you were going to come up with a specific amount, Alice, of water you should drink.
The amount that I'm thirsty for at any given time is usually about half a glass of water. But there are specific reasons for that, which I mentioned in my show Twist, available at the Edinburgh Fringe all through August. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. Do you want a friend without the terrible burden of organising coffee dates? Do you want to feel like they're always there for you without ever having to be there for them in return? Try a parasocial relationship. Make overly personal comments in the comments of their YouTube videos. Tell a story about them to your aunt where you only remember halfway through that you've never met. Have some of the fun of a real friendship with none of the boring reality bits. Parasocial relationships. Try one today. And if you're uptight and too self-conscious to ever wallow in grotesque sensual indulgence, try having someone hand you a loaf of warm bread. Break down boundaries around touch, smelling, and rubbing a communal food against your dry, open mouth while groaning loudly. Warm bread straight for the oven. Surprisingly powerful.
Very upsetting as well.
Yeah. Have you ever handed someone a loaf of warm bread and just watched them like rub it down their cleavage? Just, I've never felt
I've never seen anyone trying to have sex with bread, Alice. I'm obviously moving in the wrong circles.
You're not handing people enough loaves of freshly baked warm bread. It's an it does extraordinary things to people.
Puts the in focaccia, basically, yes.
And have you ever pulled a cotton bag out of under your bed and realised it's been completely wrecked? Why do you think that is? It's been the slow growth of mould due to approximately half a glass of water. That's half a glass of water if you want to absolutely ruin a cotton bag today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalised card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Social media news now. Twitter has rebranded itself as X. If you've been following this news on any other platform, including Twitter, Elon Musk has fulfilled a lifelong desire to name an app X as part of his process of turning Twitter into the quote-unquote everything app, something like China's WeChat, where they get to send money and send messages and download music.
And be monitored constantly.
Monitored
yes.
constantly and have a social yes. credit score that then decides whether you get to get on a train if you didn't walk enough steps today. All of the fun of constant surveillance with none of the fun of Twitter. Sami Shah, you're online. Can you unpack this story for us?
So a lot of people have criticized Elon Musk for it, as they have been criticizing him since he took over Twitter. I'm willing to just believe that he maybe is a genius, because maybe we're just not buying it. We're just not understanding the complexity of his thoughts. This is a man who bought x.com, the URL, over a decade ago, I think close to 20 years ago, tried rebranding PayPal as x.com, got fired from PayPal because of that attempt, and then just sat on the URL for ages and ages until the right moment came along.
I mean, let's not forget the child. Let's not forget the child that he named.
Oh, right. Right. He also, that's correct. Yes. And you know, that's a huge dedication. I had Sami
Shah.com. And also the two wives that he then turned into exes.
Into exes, correct. And look, I had Sami Shah.com for years. And once I just let it lapse and I couldn't get it back. And now I'm stuck with the Sami Shah.com, which makes me sound like a psychopath. Elon Musk knows how to hold on to a URL and is not going to stop until he finds a good use for it. And I think x.com, or whatever this is now called, with the videos called X videos, which is clearly not going to be confusing for any porn aficionados, it has a plan in place. It's the funniest part about the story, though, is that it's already been copyrighted by someone else, and that someone else is Meta or Facebook.
And Microsoft.
So he doesn't even own the thing that he wants to own so desperately. And so now it's called Xing. I don't know. Like, whenever I go, I still type twitter.com and it opens up fine. So I'm not sure what exactly this grand plan is, other than one other detail that's important to point out. As he announced it around the same time as the X-Men comic books had the Hellfire Gala. And spoiler alert, a lot of X-Men died because Professor Charles Xavier screwed things up. So maybe it's a crossover. I don't know. I don't know whether Elon Musk is dealing with Marvel on that level yet.
Well, that's just such a retro version of futurism, the letter X, like yes. as the idea of the coolest thing you can possibly have. It's like a lady dressed in a silver jumpsuit with Bose headphones on. Like
it's like he saw the movie Hackers from 1998 or whenever that came out with a young Angelina Jolie and was like, that's my personality. For the rest of my life, that's who I am.
Is he going to try and trademark it though? This is what's interesting to me. Does it trademark the letter X and then just sue Treasure Maps, anyone that plays noughts and crosses? Like, how can you can't technically, can you own a letter?
Well, one of my favorite children's book, which is James Thurber's The 13 Clocks, has a villain who is does not like to hear the letter X spoken, so that's fun. Maybe we need to chuck Elon Musk into that multiverse for a minute and have him fed to the geese.
Well, also as well, he took over the ex Twitter account. So there was a user that had that and she just took it. He didn't pay the owner or anything. And apparently that's in the terms and conditions that you don't own your Twitter name. So...
But he also hasn't paid rent for the headquarters. So I don't think anyone's getting any money from this guy.
Well, look, as somebody with fond remembrances of the early internet, where it was kind of a really just a wild west and you kind of were allowed to do anything that you wanted to do, I feel that at the moment the problem is not so much the current situation as that I want to get to the future now. I just want to get to the future where the interaction is 100% clear, the transaction that we're undergoing is 100% clear. You whisper one of your darkest secrets into your computer and then it lets you send an email. I just want the clear transactional process rather than having it pretend to be halfway between these two situations where it's like freedom of speech. No, you tell us your deepest fear or your most shameful secret and then you get to do a tweet. That's...
Is that, so basically you want Scientology?
Yep.
Okay.
The future of the internet is Scientology.
We're in the middle phase right now, right? So it's like the printing press. First, there was the printing press and it was made and was amazing. And then there was the entire Protestant Reformation that resulted from that. And that caused a lot of people to die and a lot of people got angry. And now we have a billion copies of 50 Shades of Grey lying in landfill. So we're in the phase of the Protestant Reformation. We have to get to the phase of a badly written erotica just being the only thing left in the universe.
Well, speaking of badly written erotica, you can go to unbound.com and write in Alice Fraser if you would like to support the Dancy Lagarde reader. We are more than 210% funded, so we don't need your funding. It's if you would like a copy of the Dancy Lagarde reader, go to unbound.com and write in Alice Fraser, because I guarantee if you try to write Dancy Lagarde, you will misspell it. It's a name that I decided on because I thought it would be the funniest name for me to say, and then I wrote spelling for it that would be the funniest for me to read, and I never expected anyone else to ever read it, let alone be reading an entire book dedicated.
I almost feel like Elon Musk had the same thought process behind X.com, and that's how we're in this fix right now.
Your review section now. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Sammy, what have you brought in for us this week?
I have brought in the lumbar lordosis. If you don't know, the lumbar lordosis is that part of the spine that curves like a little bracket, like a curly bracket, the lower half of your spine, basically. And it's the last 10 vertebrae. And it's just shit. It is just badly designed, it's badly evolved, and it's something that you don't really realize until you're holding a 10-week-old baby at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you realize that, look, our whole purpose is just to procreate, to recreate ourselves in smaller and smaller units, and then we're supposed to carry those units because they're useless, they can't walk by themselves. So we carry them, but somehow carrying them wrecks our spines. Like, our backs can't handle the thing that we're supposed to do. And it's because of the lumbar lordosis, which evolved badly. And I'm furious at the lumbar lordosis for being such a crap piece of spine. You had one job and you're not even good at that. And therefore, I give it 1 star out of 5. Once I would take away the 1 star if I could, but I still need to stand upright. And I'm holding on to that promise for now.
One star for the lumbar lordosis probably would have been better if we kept a tail of some kind.
I was going to say, is that where the vestigial is? Is that where that lives? Right.
And we had a promise of a tail. How much better would life have been with just a prehensile tail? Why did we have to lose that? It's all the lumbar lordosis' fault.
Well, also, you could be like a kangaroo. Like a kangaroo. You can lean back on it and then just kick shit out of everything else.
Look at, don't they look happier than we do?
Sami Shah, as somebody who is constantly targeted with ads for ways to make myself less disgusting as I age, I'm not looking forward to the idea of Botox for my tail or some kind of tail plumping bullshit, or like, oh, now you have to dye it in stripes. Like, oh, go f*** yourselves. I'm going to let my tail go grey like the rest of me.
You don't think you'd have a career as a tailfluencer? That's a shame.
She's a wag.
Tiff, what have you brought in for us to review this week?
Swimming pools, public ones. I can't bring myself to call them swimming baths because that suggests that there's bathing happening in there. But I went to the local Lido a couple of weeks ago and it was insane. There was just like nowhere to swim and it was just human soup with like leery London sort of Londoner croutons just bobbing about in it. Londoner croutons, yeah, that's what I'm going to call them. I came out with a plaster stuck to my thigh. At one point, I'm swimming and I could just hear, Dave, look, I'm a cherub water fountain. And I was like, please don't be a man weeing in the pool. Just please. Then I had to check myself. It was a relief to just see he was using pool water as a mouthwash and spitting it out on my back. But yeah, I think the problem with swimming pools is that they have other humans in them and everyone has a different idea of what's appropriate behaviour in a swimming pool. So I would like a swimming pool of my own, but in countries that have colder climates, you only really have a swimming pool if you're loaded because it costs a lot to get them heated up to a decent temperature to swim in. So you know, unless, you know, I get a bucket load of cash in, I'm stuck with the municipal swimming pools. And I'm going to give them 3 out of 5 because they essentially do what they are, filled with water and you can swim in them. How enjoyable that experience is debatable.
And how much of that is water is debatable.
I've been trying to work myself up to go to a swimming pool for a while. I know, Tiff, we promised that we'd do it at some point this summer. And just as an Australian, it feels like a human rights abuse to walk past a pool and there'd be a line around the corner or you have to sign into a registry. I headed to a paddling pool that was associated with a children's park with Laser Fraser, and a viler swamp of chaos and villainy I have never seen. My Australian snobbery, like my anti this snobbery kicked in really hardcore, and I let her swim for like 5 minutes, but I just wanted to like remove her from exposure to people who think that a muddy puddle counts as an acceptable public pool situation. Just being polluted by proximity to these barbarians.
It's Faruka City out there. What can I say to you?
Speaking of plunging into the water, our next top story is the news that hundreds of drones have plunged into Melbourne's Yarra River. Sammy, you're in Melbourne. Can you unpack this story for us?
It was a magnificent drone display. People have given up on fireworks, I feel like. There's no more fireworks happening. Everyone's now getting to like 600 drones, throws them up in the air, and then they make a dragon. And that's really cool. Except what happened was, out of the 600 drones, about 350 of them just fell out of the sky, which is applying the rules of physics to drones. What goes up must come down, and it did come down straight into the main river that runs through the city of Melbourne. It was organized, ironically, by the Australian Traffic Network, which is a terrible advertising campaign for them to not even be able to control the drones they put up in the air. And their statement after 350 drones just disappeared into the water said, this is the first technical situation we've had in the 18 months that we've been in this business, which is good.
That doesn't
feel
like long enough to be in that
business. I know. I don't know why they thought that was a reassuring statement to tell us. They also said, as far as we know, no one's been hurt. And I'm like, it fell into the river. Did you ask everyone? Were the ducks and the fish consulted on this? Because I seriously doubt it. So yeah, we're now looking for, we can go fishing for drones, if that's what you want to do in Melbourne. Because it used to be you could go fishing in the Yarra and pull out a scooter or a bicycle. So now we've added some more technology to that.
Tiff, are you pro or anti-drones?
I thought it was interesting that it was such a huge story, like missing drones. Like, are we going to see the posters? Are we going to see them on the side of milk cartons?
Have you seen this drone?
Have you seen this drone? Are we going to get? Are they going to get their own music video, like "Runaway Train" by Soul Asylum? That song was about missing kids, and then they just showed them all. So, if they do retrieve them, you can see what went wrong because they filmed their own demise as they've slowly gone in. So you could just watch the footage back. But yeah, it's the sort of baffling. Whether it's a more environmentally sound thing than fireworks, because fireworks were going off last night in here, actually, and my cat lost his mind and, like, crawled underneath the sofa. I don't know what was being celebrated, but I suppose there's less... The net result is probably better for the environment, although not technically if you're going... Do you swim? Does anyone swim in that river? It's probably cleaner than a swimming pool here.
Yeah, I was going to say, they do when they're from London and they want to get a nice bath, but otherwise, no.
So that's all. You're just going to have loads of footage of people's feet from underneath that Jaws perspective. But yeah, I mean, I imagine that was an expensive, that's got to be about, I don't know, how many, 350, probably £1,000 a drone?
It's taxpayer money, don't worry about it. One of the things that the department spokesperson says is the drones did exactly what they should have done with any technical glitch. They auto-rotated and landed. Unfortunately, when you're over water, they auto-rotate and land into the water, which I'm thinking, given that some parts of this planet are water, you should probably add that as a functionality into drones in the future. It's just maybe don't go land there. The word land is not appropriate for that.
I mean, that's what I do when there's any kind of a glitch or malfunction in my process.
Auto-rotate
and lie on my back until the problem disappears.
She has to be flipped over before she can go. You're like a beetle.
It would be funny though if they find, out of all the drones, they get all the footage and they discover that there's one drone that was basically like the Reverend Jim Jones of all the other drones.
And egg news now. This is the news. It's a follow-on story from a story that we've covered before on The Gargle. A British man who stole more than £31,000 worth of Cadbury cream eggs from an industrial complex has been sentenced to 18 months in jail. Now, the inexplicability of this to me is extraordinary. Not only have Cadbury cream eggs managed to somehow transcend Easter and become an all-year-round treat, the idea of anyone wanting more than one of them a year just blows my frickin' mind. Tiff Stevenson, you've stolen the hearts of a nation. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes, it's a cracking story. Excellent punning potential. We are not yoking. Now that's out the way. Cadbury's had a campaign.
I'm a shell of my former self.
Cadbury's had a campaign which was like Cadbury's cream egg, how do you eat yours? In a cell, apparently, for this guy. You know, I mean, every Easter, actually, my mum, she's quite religious. She makes me go on an egg hunt just to find out if any of them are still viable. She wants me to have kids. That's what I'm saying. This man stole thousands of Cadbury's cream eggs. And apparently when he was caught, he came out with his hands up, which he had to because they were very sticky due to the yolky middle. His name is Joby Pauls, which is so close to Jobby Pools, which in Scotland is just a swimming pool that's filled with poops. So any of the swimming pools that I've been talking about. Actually, no, I will say swimming pools in Scotland, municipal swimming pools are incredible. Very, very beautiful swimming pools in Scotland. So, yeah, the standard is much higher there for a council swimming pool. But yeah, Joby Pools, ridiculous. Stole, I don't know what the plan was to do with them afterwards, to sell them down the market. Like, how are you getting rid of a job lot of like Cadbury's cream eggs? I don't know what the plan was. It's fascinating. It would be intriguing to know what was going on in his mind when he was like, yes, I've got a plan for this. And I don't know whether it was to eke them out over... Imagine they've got a best before date. They're eggs. Don't leave them out in the sun. They're going to go
bad. They're Cadbury cream eggs, though. They don't have a best before date. They'll be around not being eaten by cockroaches after the nuclear wipeout.
Are Cadbury cream eggs not the most delicious chocolate? Am I the only one who thinks that?
I like it. I like a Cadbury's cream egg.
Right?
I'm a fan. You. Yeah,
I've
yeah.
never related with a criminal more in my life. This is a victimless crime. As far as I heard it, I was like, exactly, I would have done the same thing. I don't understand what the problem here is. He shouldn't be punished for this. 200,000 Cadbury cream eggs, you ask what the plan is. Eat them.
Eat them.
They're amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
Back up, back up, back up. How many Cadbury cream eggs could you eat in a row?
I've tested the limits. I'd say four, but yeah, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure when I was a kid, I've probably done three in a row. Like, and it's very telling. You can tell a lot about a person about how they eat them. You know, you're taking the top off and like dipping your tongue in like a little lizard. Are you just biting it off, breaking it, getting it everywhere? You know, the campaign was, how do you eat yours? How do you eat yours, Sammy?
With 200,000, you can eat them every way. That's his genius. He saw the campaign and was like, I'm going to try them all out. My way is I bite it in half and then I lick the inside like a creep and then I eat the remainder. But you could do whatever. I'm horrified that Alice has such a low regard for the finest chocolate ever made.
No, they are perfectly good at the proper rate, which is one a year. And you get halfway through and you're like, well, that's enough for now.
I would like to. I wonder if anyone eats it with a spoon. I wonder if anyone cracks the top and then spoons the middle out. That I would like to see. That I would give a go to. But it almost feels like it feels like the kind of thing that you would do as a prank or as like an attempt at a Guinness World Record or something.
You eat one Cadbury cream egg with a spoon, you mean?
Well, we're just like to get them all and then eat them. Yeah, like I can't see what other reason you would have. Again, because otherwise then we're in a world where there's like cream egg dealers on street corners. We'll just see Sammy down in Camden on the Camden lock on a Saturday night going, give us a couple of...
In a giant overcoat. You want some eggs? Hey, you want some eggs? I got some eggs.
In a basket. Come on, Sammy. In a basket.
Well, thankfully, the situation was rescued by the police and no eggs were lost. But in other retrieval news now, this is the news, that 488 golden retrievers have retrieved themselves to their traditional home in Scotland, in the Scottish Highlands. Tiff, you know the Scottish Highlands well. Can you unpack this story for us?
Apparently, it's a photo opportunity. 488 golden retrievers going to the Highlands. They put them all together for a photograph. But it sounds like a very stressful Andrex commercial because because apparently, according to the article, the dogs are put there for 15 seconds so that the photographer can capture them. But it says 15 seconds in golden retriever time is an eternity, approximately an eternity. So 488 golden retrievers evidently believe they have been abandoned forever and panic. So there's just like, it sounds so stressful.
Things.
So there's just owners on the sidelines going, I'm over here, don't worry, darling. And these poor dogs are like, what is going on?
It's a historic event.
So, yeah.
Stay put.
Chill out, guys. Yeah, so, I mean, the picture looks great. They look very majestic. And the Highlands are beautiful.
I mean, I don't understand why they didn't just have a tannoy saying, sit, good boy, sit.
it's a photo opportunity. It's as most as I can make out, and that it happens yearly?
Annually at Gwisachan House, which is the place where the golden retriever breed was invented, presumably when... a wavy-coated retriever was bred with a tweed water spaniel or a dog some gold. Either way, the invention of the breed happened there in Scotland, and so they're returning to whence they came, like salmon swimming upstream to spawn, I assume, and then continuing the process.
You're skipping over the most bizarre part of the news story, which is where they then tell us a little bit about the history of the Golden Retriever. And they say this is to pay homage to Sir Dudley Marjorie Banks, later Lord Tweedmouth, full stop. And then they say he's credited with developing the Golden Retriever. I want to know why he was called Lord Tweedmouth and what the hell can last say Marjorie Banks is as well. There's so much more happening there. He sounds like a character Enid Blyton made up.
Tweedmouth is presumably like foot in mouth. Like this guy just kept saying awful stuff and was having to stuff his jacket into his face.
He sounds like someone Saucepan Man was friends with on the Magic Faraway Tree.
And that brings us to the end of the show. We are flipping through the ads at the back. Sammy, have you got anything to plug?
I have got a podcast. It's called News Weekly. That's spelled W-E-A-K-L-Y because that's what you want to do when you create a podcast, is come up with a letter spelling pun on an audio thing. So it's called News Weekly. You can find it. It's a weekly 15-minute roundup of the news and the headlines done satirically, hopefully. And that comes out every week. So that's, I think that. And if you go to thesammyshow.com, a URL which I am now stuck with because I gave up sammyshow.com. As I said earlier, you can find a whole bunch of my comedy stuff as well.
And Tiff, what have you got to plug?
Well, you can check out Catharsis, my podcast with the Bugle Group. Lots of fantastic episodes. Alice has been on one. Those are up at the moment of the current series that's out, so check that out. I also have a run at the Edinburgh Fringe, 14th to the 20th of August. Just doing 7 days work in progress at lunchtime at midday at 12 o'clock. So you can come along, see. It's low key, it's only £8 because I'm trying to go back to the roots of Fringe, which is to go up and create something fun up there. So I'll be up there for a little while. And I have a film, but it's coming out in America. So if you're in America and you're listening, check out Slotherhouse. Which is coming to movie theatres in America in August.
Dress up, go see it. Dress up with stuff you already own and will
dress
wear
up
again.
With stuff you already own. In fact, you should go dressed at this is set in a sorority. So if you could go dress like you're in a sorority, that would be fun. There you go.
Yeah, Ugg boots and tracky dacks. Yeah. That's an easy move. Speaking of Edinburgh, we have live goggles in Edinburgh. Tickets can be found at thebuglepodcast.com. I am also in Edinburgh. I'll be doing a show every night at 8:30 p.m. at the Underbelly Bristow Square. It's called Twist. I'm very proud of it. And if you cannot get to Edinburgh, please buy a copy of the Dancy Lagarde reader at unbound.com. Type in Alice Fraser again. I'm pretty sure you won't spell Dancy Lagarde right the first time. I didn't. If you have any stories that you would like to send in to the Gargle, tweet us at HelloGarglers on X. X us on X at HelloGarglers. I'm Alice Fraser. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop full of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs, and my weekly writers' meetings. If you would like to write, if you're working on anything, whether it's a musical, a movie, an academic text, come in. We do a writers' meeting and it's a lot of fun. It's my favourite thing, and you get it at the moment for $1 a month because I haven't figured out how to price it properly. This is a Bugle Podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. Your editor is Ped Hunter. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programmes from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig. Moonpig.com.